Okay.
This is a great subject because all of us have been there. Nothing is common to man but what the Lord does, has not experienced, does not know, that we don't share as the body of Christ. And there are so many of you in here. There's so many of you in here that are far more, I would think, the one to be leading this seminar to but me, have been so much. Our friend here, Glenn, so many of you have been through dark clouds, and I've been through a few of them myself. When I had all of this boiling up in my mind, and this is not an organized teaching, I'm normally very logical, but the Lord just kept giving me thoughts over the last couple months. Even last night, the Lord kept giving me thoughts, so I was tearing out sheets to write. So there's so much that's just burning in my spirit. And sometimes I'm just so glad I do happen to believe in tongues, because there's so much in my spirit that I can never say in words. The finite language just goes beyond what I know God is saying to me. So, and just this, while this has been going around, these thoughts, just Lord teaching me in these last few months, I didn't tell Linda that. I thought, well, if Linda asked me to do a seminar this year, I just know this is what the Lord wants me to share. So I'm going to go through really a lot of thoughts, and I hope it'll stimulate some of what God's doing in you too. But I want to start and play a song for you. I'm a great lover of the music of Linda Randall. I don't know how many know her or not, but I want to play this song as we start. Oops.
Still God is the best.
Me, that's been a very powerful song. You can see that. And I'm like Linda. Last week, something hit her 2 weeks ago. Two things that really we were seeing happen for people that are precious to me. And it really seemed like the blessing of God was just coming to fulfillment. And for both of them, they just crashed in disappointment. Nothing to do with them. And I battled with that. I'm not battling with the Lord. I'm battling in my mother's heart and my grandmother's heart now. I said to John, I just got to call Linda and tell her I can't do this. Because it just hurts too much. And, you know, for those we love, and we want so a mother's heart to make things right, take care of the ones that are special to us, bring them in, as I used to say when I was speaking, bring them into my children back into the door and close the door, and I could make things right. And then they got older, and they got 20s, and they got 30s. They're in their 40s. And I can't always do that. And that couple of weeks ago, there was just so much hurt. Just couldn't believe those two things that happened. And, you know, it's the things in our life we can't believe they've happened. And this Linda Randa song I played over and over many years ago. Music's a big part of my life. And I'm not supposed to be giving my testimony here, but many years ago, when there was something devastating happening to us when we were on the mission field, I played over and over, oh, now the name of the song, but it was a Gaither song, Joy Comes in the Morning. Mm-hmm. And music channels my heart. Mm-hmm. I don't do much playing, I don't do much singing anymore, but that hasn't changed what music does in my heart. Mm-hmm. And so when I wrote this, God provided for our salvation and for our eternal life. Wish I'd thought, Lord gave me some things last night, and wish I'd brought paper, I didn't think about it, but we're going to picture the cross over here, and we are going to picture heaven over here, and right here, under this cord, that would be the cord of the Lord, we're going to picture a circle, and we'll do something with that in a bit. But where is our faith for what's happening right now? It's very difficult to see our faith rise as we do not come to relate to the enormity of what God's grace is toward us at all times. He's unconditionally dedicated to me. He's unconditionally dedicated to you. He's unconditionally dedicated to you. You. The corporate body, but you. Every single one of us. He never asked us to follow him with blind faith. I wish I was going to have time to develop this a bit, but it's not probably going to happen. But he asked us to follow him not by sight. There's a difference. People who have blind faith, you're just following somebody blindly. You don't really know them, but they sound good. They seem to have the ability to lead, and you just blindly follow them. But God has set down such a foundation for us that he never asked us to go with blind faith. We have every reason in the world to trust him. I would like to have time to have you call out things that you know are the foundation of God, but we're not following him by blind faith. But he has said, nevertheless, don't walk by sight. Walk by the word of the, whoops, where's my Bible? The word of the Lord. Walk by the words of the Spirit in your life. Down in the core of your spirit, God has done a work that is absolutely untouchable. The devil has power, all kinds of devils. There's illness, there's hurt, there's disappointment, there's upheaval, there's everything you can think of in the world in which we live. But when Jesus died on that cross and his blood was spilled, he finished it. He finished it. He finished sin. He finished disease. He finished Amen. All these things.
Amen.
And you say, but oh, we sin. We do things we shouldn't. We have disease. Yes, we do. But in the core of this spirit, the fellowship that God established, the channels for that, our salvation, everything, the devil cannot touch the core that is my soul. He can attack that part of me, my mind, and he does. I mean, this couple of weeks ago, I was just so heavy with disappointment. I wasn't blaming God for these disappointments that came by the hands of humans, but I was so dreadfully disappointed that the devil allowed me to get discouraged. In the circle around this core is where our growth happens. I personally do not believe the Lord brings on you anything that he delivered in the curse. I don't believe he brought disease on your life to teach you something. Our God doesn't give us a little bit of cancer so he can teach us patience. No, he doesn't. What he did on Calvary was a finished work. His forgiveness of our sins, so forgiveness was taken on Calvary and is in the core of our soul, cannot be touched with the devil. Our sins were forgiven, what we've done before, what we do today, and what we will do in the future. His blood has done it. Do we sin? Yes. But that's an attack of our flesh and our mind and those things, the core. We are before God, his righteousness that he made and that he created, and the devil cannot change. Now, I used to see years ago, none of this is in my notes. Well, not for this, but anyway, I might get the notes in 2 years. But you know, let's get back to that. When I was young and in the 50s going to, I like speaking to this group. When I talk about the 50s and 60s, most people I associate with, born in Ram, and some of you were. But I used to go to Jack Wurtzen's house in the Adirondack Mountains in New York, and we used to sing the song that stayed with me all these years. Cast not away your confidence, saith the Lord our God. Now by faith in him alone I stand. Not have to sing it to get it right, but casting away our confidence, saith the Lord our God, now by faith in him alone I stand. And you know, the truth of that it stayed in my mind, but you know, every year that I live, the truth becomes greater, becomes wider, it becomes more encompassing. How we grow in that. God has not just saved us to prepare us for heaven. But our faith grows in the truth that we...
You just keep going.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good. You just keep going. I know. That's good. So she can just hold it so that we get it.
Okay. All right.
It's so good.
All right. And sometimes it's hard to hold on to what we know is absolutely good the Lord means for us. These things that in the circle... the devil can't touch that, as I've already said. These things around us, the Lord will nevertheless really turn it for good. I mean, I'm going all up and down with these thoughts. But you know, I want to be able to move into that part of the body of Christ where I have the confidence. I sang it all those years ago, sung it all these years. Casting out of way, I want to understand the workings of God's heart and mind, that I can go put my hand on my sister's shoulder, my sister's shoulder is here, or Pam White, who I love dearly in our fellowship, her husband breaks my heart, he's prone to disease. And I believe the body of Christ needs to move to the place, stop living in the fear of it, where we can lay our hands and say, in the authority of Jesus Christ, be healed. We're scared of that. Oh, well, we're going to be like so-and-so that went off the board. But our power is in our God of our salvation. And beyond the power, it is not just the power. The devil has power. He brings these. He can bring so many things to attack our lives. But we need the authority. I need to understand how to walk in the authority of Christ. His desire is to bless us in an unlimited way. To bless us unlimited. You know, we come very close to trying to earn our righteousness when God has already put it in the core of our spirit, in our soul, that cannot be touched. We would all of us say you immediately can't earn your salvation. We know we could do nothing apart from the blood of Christ to bring us to the Lord. But all of a sudden we think, oh, I sinned today. The Lord's going to be really displeased. It's always up there. And he said, got to put the ball down today. They did something wrong. Or we say all sorts of things that we think God cannot work because we're not righteous enough. Linda named some the other night. Oh, I haven't been in the Word. Of course we should be in the Word because this is where we learn. I've got a lot of kids at school. I'm not always in their class, but they can't even find their textbook when we're looking for algebra. whatever. But you see, this is a living, vital Word of God. Some of these kids may never use algebra, but we will use the Word of God to feed our spirit every day of our life. So we need that. But the amount, the blessing of God that is promised us in that core, His cross, did not stop because we're still learning. Yeah. Otherwise, I have had a terrible time. I'm a capable person. I'm a confident person. But I condemn myself all the time. And that's why probably you're all probably finding this and I'm preaching to me. I don't know. But you know, I think, oh, I'll pray for something that's very important. And I think, oh, but I've done it. If I'm praying for it, oh, I shouldn't have spent that. Or if I'm praying about health or something, well, I shouldn't have done this, I shouldn't have done that. As though the Lord's up there counting what I'm doing. He isn't doing that. He's saying He loves me, He wants to bless me unlimited. And all those things around, He is consciously down there helping to be the person that I can be. Helping me be the person that I can be. And, you know, it's such a joy then when, yes, have you ever seen children, I'm sure you have, where their parents just condemn them all the time? I can think of one big situation that I've known in my life, not my life personally, but where a child that's continually never encouraged and never made to feel that they can measure up and just down on themselves, been told, and there's children that I'm told they're never going to amount to anything. I have a good illustration of that, don't have time to give it this time. But you know, what happens to them? They give up on life. If you, and I think that's what the Lord's doing to help us come to understanding how to walk in His path and come into the image of God, we're wrong. He's not judging us. He's not condemning us. We quote John 3:16. I've got all sorts of scriptures here. We quote John 3:16 and other verses about the Lord coming to save the world. But we go on to the next. That He's not come to condemn. Now, there are times that we need to be convicted of something that's going to give us a problem. But, you know, the Lord doesn't break His fellowship with us. It's a new covenant. Just like the old and the old one, only He walked through the path. It's a new covenant. God's part is grace. And our part's faith. Amen. And when He is giving us grace, wants to see grace, the devil's delighted when we think we don't measure up. You know, in this core, when He died and did His work in our soul, He made us worthy every day of our life. Because He did it for us. Nothing we can earn. So if we're thinking, oh, I'm separating myself. Now sometimes we go through points that we're not listening. We're not trying to listen. But He has never finished fellowshipping with us. But He loves it to be active. I had to travel a lot in the past. And it was great to look forward to seeing someone in person here in America. getting back to see my husband or whatever. But, you know, of course God wants that relationship to be vital, but it's not gone. You haven't threatened it. It's yours for eternity. You're stuck with it. You're stuck with the fellowship of God, with the presence of God. We may need to become more aware of it, but he cannot touch the relationship that he sealed on Calvary. Sometimes we almost need to think that we need to give God excuses not to bless us. Because it does sometimes. You know, you think, well, if he hasn't healed the person I'm praying for, or he hasn't fixed that particular problem, and there's multiple kinds of problems, it must be something I'm doing. But you know what? Where our problem comes is if we begin to get that in our mind, and the devil's delighted when he can make us feel unworthy. Or think, make, worse than that, make us think that God thinks we're unworthy. Then we'll never get to that place as an individual child of God and as a corporate child of God, where the authority, we're able to take that authority to our mountain sooner than later. There's lots of things that the Lord would definitely be willing to have happen. I want to talk about prayer in a minute, so I'm going to stop that. Alright, in the past, you know, the teachers, good teachers, Christians and pastors that have blessed my life, but you know, they'd be constantly telling you, you mustn't go on your feelings. Mustn't go, well, if I just live my life as I was feeling 2 weeks ago, just really disappointed, I mean, certainly I shouldn't go on those feelings. But sister, we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We need to know the Lord wants to bring those feelings. Ever since I was a little girl, there'd be something maybe not going wrong, and as I got older, and now as I'm old, something I'll be concerned about, thinking about, and then all of a sudden, without any really outward reason, or even, well, in my spirit, deep in my spirit, I'll feel a release, and my body just, you know, I know God's taking over. We were also told, well, you just can't go too much on love, because, you know, love you to blind you to think, well, praise God. You know, we were told this. Linda's smiling. She knows. We were taught all this stuff. And, you know, sure, you can't just use this worldly Babylonian type of thing. Well, just love everything and love everybody and be tolerant, you know, there, this and that. No, I'm not talking about that love, but I'm talking about a deep abiding love that says to your neighbor who's living in adultery or whatever, that you're worth something to me. You're worth becoming something different from you are. Amen. The value of the human spirit is a creation of God. Yeah. God created that spirit. And if it's being misused, it hasn't yet come to the Lord, that human being, the love that will encompass all those things, is another thing we were told is, you see, I revised these notes. I can't hold this back, can I? Where did I get this paper? Yesterday. And it all got revised during the night. I'm only reading half of it. Now, what was I going to say? Oh, the other one was truth. You know, you must walk in truth. You know, you can't be, and of course, in those days, that meant doctrinal truth. You know, well, of course, I want to walk according to the word of God. But they never put much emphasis on we must worship him in spirit and in truth. You take truth alone and it's deadening, it'll kill you. But if you take the Lord Jesus in the spirit of your life, it'll bring life. Truth on its own is deadly. But if we weren't taught to sense that spirit, we've taught that the spirit will save you, really, we missed the core. Then we missed the pit stop. We saw we were saved, and we saw we were going to get to heaven, and that bridge was going to go right over it. We had diagrams with that on it. But the Lord made a pit stop. Mm-hmm. And that name was Margie and Marie and Belinda. He made a pit stop right here. It says, in the day which you are living, you will be overcomers.
Mm-hmm.
What you feel, I'm going to let you feel by my presence in your life. Another thing the Lord's... let me ask you a question, but don't raise your hands. I'm going to ask you. What do you think about when you wake up in the middle of the night? What do you think about when your day-to-day things going on, and especially maybe if something difficult has happened or whatever? What goes through your mind? I'll tell you, I wake up, again, I'm getting old, I wake up in the middle of the night, and my husband's done that since he was 17, woke up in the middle of the night for an hour and a half, and he meditates and reads scriptures, very holy man. Me, I sleep. But anyway, when I do wake up, am I meditating on scriptures? Am I singing? That's not always pleasant. My bedroom's right near the living room, and he's singing in the middle of the night, but that's okay. You know, what do? My mind, when I close eyes, come up, and what do I do? What are we going to do about this one's so hurt, or this one needs that, or, and my mind starts going on the negative. You know, the Lord says, the Lord says, John says, he's my Lord and Master, I guess, or like, that's what he thinks. No, no, he doesn't. I hope he doesn't hear this. But anyway, we had an incident the other day, and something happened at the very last minute before I was leaving for work early, and he was, we just totally disagreed on it. Had to do with the dog and the light. I mean, we really major things in our house. Very early in the morning, it was still dark. I won't go through it all. Pitiful. But anyway, so I was really put out with him. So he walked me out to the car. And my car has a few difficulties. One of them is the back windshield thing isn't working. And so he cleaned it off, and he was getting my stuff in. And he says, I love you. Mother, here I was, and I said, oh, I'm not so sure about that. So as I got driving to work, and I got there, I thought, oh, this is no good, I shouldn't have said that, you know. And in the office, all of my desk and the other secretary's desk, and they are, and about half the staff is in there, and I thought, well, I can't call John on this phone. So I went into the conference room, and I picked up the phone, and I called him. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I know you love me. But you know, we need to do this with the Lord when we say, oh, Lord, I doubt you, what's happened hurts, but I know you're going to make a way. Give me joy in the morning, in the middle of the night, when my soul wants to worry. And I ask myself, what percentage of the time? Oh, all this started when in the past, my husband used to say he never met anybody who could read scripture and it come out so negatively. Because I can read something, and I say, well, I'll never measure up to that. I sometimes have trouble getting the concept that all my life the Lord's going to keep working on it till we get it right.
That's right.
That's all. Right. We're going to keep working on it. And I would read things, and I'd say, well, I do this too sometimes. All my ducks aren't in a row. The Lord's not going to answer this to all my ducks in a row. He doesn't care how many ducks are in a row. He created them. He makes them. And, you know, it's such a precious, special time when we begin to realize that only God can take care of these. Another problem area I find sometimes is in prayer. I don't know if I want to say problem, but I realized I was praying for things, I was asking things of the Lord over and over and over and over. And the more I did that, the more I got discouraged in thinking the Lord would ever answer. Until really, something's taken me a long time to learn. I began to realize, I don't need to keep on asking as though the Lord hasn't heard or he doesn't care to answer. If what I'm praying I know is in the will of God, then I need to ask. So he understands and knows everything, but that I'm vocalizing to him what I need. But then I need to find the scripture that I know beyond a doubt the Lord is making that promise. And from then on, when I pray about it and that person's on my heart or that situation, I quote the Word of God. I don't ask for it again. Mm-hmm. Quote the Word of God. We're standing strong. I'm standing on the Scripture. If it takes 5 years, if it takes 5 minutes, if it takes 2 weeks, whatever it takes, I'm going to stand on the Word of God. And the other thing that I think made me realize that I did not have the power in prayer I could. I was a little afraid that I wasn't praying the right thing, so I always stuck on it, if it's your will.
Mm-hmm.
That phrase bugs me now. If it's your will. I mean, definitely the script tells you if we ask in His name according to His will. But if it's things we know are His will, then I don't need to stick on it if it's your will. Another thing I used to, you know, Lord be with us in this meeting, in this time of prayer, in this fellowship. I would never pray that now. The Lord never, 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 never leaves. He says that. He's with us. So I don't pray that. I pray now, Lord, help me to feel Your presence, or help me to be conscious of Your presence. Help me to conscious what You're saying. There's no use me imploring the Lord to do something Scripture says He's already going to do. And that helps me to have a stronger concept in my prayer life of the possibilities of God. Most of what I'm trying to do today is to make us understand above everything else that I'm saying here is that we are not unworthy. We may not have everything worked out in our life because the Lord's working on this outer circle of our mind. He's out working to transform it. He's working to conform us in this outer circle. But the core is done. The worthiness is there. He's not dissatisfied. I talk to so many people who come out of meetings or conferences and really just seems they're always being told to search for things. They come out feeling condemned. I want you and I want me to get anything changed in my life that should be changed. But I'm not going to dig. The Lord didn't tell me to be a contractor. I say, Lord, show me what You want to see now.
Amen.
When our children are children, we don't expect them to do everything at once.
Mm-hmm.
And neither does God. He says, I work with Your spirit, I'm a potter, I'm molding you into something beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much I'm learning now, and I've been a Christian, I'm 68, I was 6 when I came to the Lord, for 62 years. And never during that time, that doesn't mean I was always in a state of maturing, but never once did I doubt the Lord as my Savior. Never once did I want to do something else. The mission director of our mission board was a great man, Dr. Stewart. I can talk about old hymns to some of you, but there's one hymn that has the words in it, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. I'm not singing that. I'm not prone to wander. Did he say he didn't get everything right? Oh. I can name a few things. He was a wonderful man, but he wasn't perfect. But in his spirit, sealed by God and myself, I know that's the path I want to take. If I have some things that need to be worked through, he'll do it. But I'm not prone to wander to something else either. Now, I got terrible lost coming up here yesterday. I made a big circle and I got here completely accidentally in the Lord's will, I guess. All of a sudden it was on the left. When the last bit of the direction said it'll be on the left, well, I think the Lord moved it. But I went all around. So there may be tense appearance of around. But God is God. I love that song and it touches my heart. He's God in the mountains. He's God in the valleys. Hmm. He does everything. But some people say, we mustn't think more highly of ourselves than we are. After all, He's God. And oh, God, is He holy.
Hmm.
But became man, that he could feel like we feel. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Being humble is not synonymous with feeling just meek and just feeling quiet and reverent. By the way, even that word reverent does not mean silence. That's another whole talk. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this whole thing of being humble, somehow we get this idea of being debased. But I'll tell you what humility is absolutely making sure that we always acknowledge the source of our strength. Humility is always acknowledging the source of our strength. It has anything to do with our demeanor. Doesn't have anything to do with our manner. It has everything to do with knowing and acknowledging where the source of our strength comes from. When we do that and we realize those things, Linda has things, I have a whole flock of things. Don't tell her this, but if she's just got one, she's doing good. I've got a whole flock of things. These poor ladies here were all the women's group together, and they asked for prayer, and I can't think of a thing. Well, I've got tons of things deep down in here. Mm-hmm. But there aren't. It's not things. There's so much deep in my spirit. I just can't talk about them in just a prayer request list, because there are things that I'm just before the God that I know is going to answer. Mm-hmm. I know he's going to answer to those I want. So we acknowledge what the world blames many things as acts of God. Oh, that drives my husband crazy when he hears that. Acts of God. And, you know, he's blamed for so many things by non-Christians, and some of us sometimes too. You know, his heart is to bless, to restore. But we need to understand that while we have to deal with the things that do attack our life, that God is not, I'm not going to spend much time because I mentioned this earlier, but God doesn't bring things that he healed in the curse to teach us. He could teach us a lot of other ways. But you know, he's so faithful to make those times of difficulty that are attacks. The devil has a lot of power. As I already said, he doesn't have authority, but he has temporary power. And you know, God then takes that thing and changes it into something good. And you know, you can read the verse in the Bible that says about making things into good for us. But you know, it's just so many words to your heart, and your body is attacked with it. And then when you see the preciousness of the Lord coming down and saying, I'm going to hold you. I'm going to hold you. We'll get through this. We will get through this together. Mm-hmm. And in it, he teaches you things that are precious that will stay with you all of your life. That wasn't his first choice of how to teach you that. Mm-hmm. But since the devil has the ability to bring hurt into our lives, to bring hurt around us, he does turn it into something that is wholly healing in our life. There's a lot I don't know. Don't tell my husband that either. A lot I don't know. But I'm learning, again, music's in the past such a part of my life. We used to sing the song, I Know Who I Am, Believer. I'm beginning to know whom I have believed. I'm so blessed in my life. I am so blessed in my life. Because despite the things I don't have answers to yet, it's just hard to believe this precious God I can't have words there. But God is great. He's good. He's precious. And I'm not going to let the devil think anymore that I'm unworthy. Because God let me be worthy. God let me be worthy. And we're going to walk these mountains and the valleys. Sometimes I just don't think, let me see if there's something else. sometimes I just don't think we have any idea of what the grace of God encompasses. I've hit on some points today that the devil wants to blind us to and make us think. But, you know, there is so much grace there, so much desire of the Lord. He's so pleased with you. I wish I could go around and have time every name and say, God is pleased with you, God is pleased with you, God is pleased with you, God is pleased with you. And he wants to help put everything out. We have a little girl in our school who has an inoperable childhood brain, suffers from brain disease, Jordan. She's a sweet little girl. She's in second grade now, but pressure at the moment, pressing on the medulla oblongata and oblongata. Can't say that anymore, even though I was a nurse 50 years ago. And, you know, she has trouble with her dating. She was so disappointed. They did a treatment the other day, and it left her hand paralyzed, too, for the time being. And, you know, I watch all the kids in the school. They love to help her. Some of us have paralyzations, and I'm determined. I want you to go out of this particular group today just praising the Lord for whom you are. I don't want you to repent of anything. I don't want you to think that somehow, you know, I need to get on my knees. And there are times, please don't go out of here saying, or even financially, God says what my favorite or one of my favorite verses, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Mm-hmm. Don't raise your hands, but how many believe you have life abundantly? Mm-hmm. I mean, way over the top. I want to head in that direction. God promised it. He said so. You know, sometimes in the finances, there's I've got all these verses. They're all written down on these papers. You come read them before we go out of here and say, oh, Mark, you didn't talk about the Word of God. They're all there. I mean, 7 pages of them I wrote down. I'll read one or two in a minute. But, you know, don't chastise yourself when God isn't doing it. But pray before the Lord, Lord, that there's something now, the now moment. You know, the Lord only operates tonight, same yesterday, today, and forever. But those things that are past, he's even forgotten under the deepest sea.
Amen.
So I see Christians that think that they just have to delve continually, and I get through listening to them, and I'm so depressed as a Christian. You're the apple of God's eye. And your mountains are his concerns. Mm-hmm. I recall going with my dad. My mother's a Canadian, or was a Canadian. She's with the Lord now. And my dad was half Canadian. So my grandmother, on my dad's side, she was from Nova Scotia. I'm named after her, Margaret Ann, and she died a few years before I was born. So I've only seen pictures. But Dad and Mother took me to Nova Scotia, and it's always made an impression on me, and I've used this illustration for all these years, and showed me some. I love to walk through grave sites. Honest, I do. I'm not at all morbid, but especially old ones, I guess I should say that. And they put so much information on those tombstones, and they died of consumption, or TB, all these things, and he showed me some of these little old gravestones, and my father had two siblings that died just a few days old, a few hours old, and we looked in these cemeteries, and then he took me where some of the others, his family, had lived, and of course these aunts and grandmothers would have been born in the probably 1860, around those years, and so then, of course, they grew up, married, and so forth. But he showed me his Aunt Mary's house. And Aunt Mary was apparently a lovely lady. And she'd been a widow for some years before she died. But she was known as a very kindly woman, very nice woman. So Dad showed me his house, and he told me about it. He says, you know, when she died, they found money all over her house. Mm-hmm. Now, she lived very simply. Mm-hmm. She lived very simply. And it wasn't that she was stingy. She shared everything. But somehow, whether her husband had handled her finances, but it wasn't banking like it was now. And it was just there. it wasn't a big part of her life, and she didn't realize what she could have done with it, I guess, for her, and she wasn't, you know, her mind was fine, but there was just all this money that she apparently didn't know what to do with. Now, my grandmother, Margaret, and this was Mary, there was another sister, Salome, and Salome had a daughter, Celia. I called her Aunt Celia, but she really was my second cousin. She was my dad's age. And, you know, here was her aunt who lived in a house with money stuck everywhere. She didn't really realize the value of it. But Aunt Celia became the first woman president in the bank, in a bank in Massachusetts. And she became the first in the United States to do some other banking thing as a woman. So in a half a generation, because a generation is usually about considered 70 years, within 30 years, we'd gone from an aunt who just didn't understand the money at all to her niece, who became the first woman bank president in the state of Massachusetts. She came to realize what she had. Now, we have a bank of God's blessings within us. We've got a whole bank of them. So I want to realize what I've got. I've got the Holy Spirit of God. His word says that Jesus said, if you've seen your Father, you've seen me. And we become joint heirs with Christ. So we should be able to say, if you've seen the Father, if you see me, such a precious thing what he's done for us. He's so pleased. He loves you. I want to read one hymn. I think we're almost out of time. Good night. If I ever finished singing early and ran out of things to say, I'd be devastated. So stick around another 5 minutes. I want to read another song. Most of you all have sung it. All the older ones have sung it over and over. And played in my sleep. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord. The Lord gave me a cord if he didn't remind me to bring that. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. I think Alana has brought a sword for her talk tonight. But overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing in the promises of God. When I was church organist and pianist, I can't tell you how many thousand times I have probably played that song. And it was always a favorite song. But, oh my goodness, what I think it means now. Through eternal ages, let his praises ring, and that's the key. When I wake up in the night and I'm worried about finances, or I'm worried about one of my children, or I'm worried about something, I want to point my eyes to Jesus. My dad sang the song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, and then he died that morning. Wow. 2 hours later. That's precious to me. Wow. You know, turn your eyes upon Jesus. I want to take them off. I'm not being condemned by that, but I'm knowing that's one of the paths that's going to bring me victory, to turn to his praises. When the howling storms and doubt and fear assail, fear is one of the things in that outer court. Fear and disease and all these things that we get attacked with. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, with the Holy Spirit in our life, with the Word of God. There's so many things in here that I didn't know what I was playing and singing. It was a good thing I did, because they're down in my heart now. But oh my goodness, I know they have more meaning now. And you know what? The devil is so happy when he can keep, as I've already said, he can keep us feeling that we're not worthy. Because, you see, if we begin to realize we're worthy by the enormous grace of God, it says the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. I want to be revealed as a son and daughter of Christ. I want to be able to see a different pattern in Pam's White's husband. I want to see some changes happen in the people I love and pray for. I want to have the authority that I know God's offering. And so I want to, he says he's coming back for a glorious church. I don't want to be marking time. I don't want to be marking time. I want to move ahead. It's not because I want an ease-filled life, but that's not a bad thing. If I can really claim the verse, casting all my care upon you, for I care for you, the Lord says. I want to cast my care and say, and that's something really these last few weeks, I'm really, I can see that, feel that rush in my spirit. One, trust. Lord, it's yours. It's yours. Now, again, my poor husband, he gets it all when I'm speaking, doesn't he? Now, when we had a fellowship together and we'd speak while I was there, some of the people would come up, he'd hover over my shoulder if I got going speaking first or something. And so one day I just took him and let him down, set him in the front row. And another time, a few other times, they'd motion him to go back, but that's another thing. You know, oh, I've lost my train of thought with all my silliness. That was I lost the importance of it. But anyway, God just has that place in his heart that is so eager to share everything he has. And you know, it's so good to feel we love, have love. Some of you have been through a divorce, or some of you have been through a parental situation, and one is, it's just so hard to know you're unloved. So hard to know you're unloved. But the Lord has such an immense love for you. Such an immense love for you. I want to just read this scripture in here. The reason I'm using this little book is I happen to have it with me. And the pictures are pretty. After all, I work in an elementary school, but they're also big print. So, and I have to look at them in here. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And then it goes on toward the end. If any of you lacks wisdom, let us ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. We only look at parts of verses. That's why the Bible is such a tremendous thing. We can read it and read it and read it, the same passage, and there's more we haven't comprehended. And in that whole scripture, where it's telling various things the Lord done, but he says he gives liberally and without reproach. He didn't say, I told you so. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Because that's what the thinking of this scripture is. When I get really down, you know, and really feeling bad for one of my children or whatever, and John will say, we're just going to trust the Lord in this. Yeah, I'm finishing. Just going to trust the Lord in this. And, I bristle. Don't you feel terrible for that? Aren't you hurt for that? And he'd say, we're just going to trust the Lord. And I get so irritated as a mother or as a woman. And I'd say, well, I don't even think you care. But I've learned I don't say that now. I don't say that. When he says, we're just going to trust the Lord, I don't say anything. But I don't know whether it's written on my face or whether we've been married almost 49 years. He still says, you know, just as though I had said those words. He knows what I think. Sometimes that worries me about being married 49 years. Even if I don't say, well, don't you feel bad for him, he still will say, no, I'm sorry this has happened to him. but we're going to trust the Lord. So even if I quit saying the doubting words, he still knows you're in here. I'm going to tell him someday, only the Lord's supposed to know this. But anyway, that's all right. Then, the last thing to finish with. May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. Mm-hmm. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. If you've seen the Father, you've seen me. Oh, that's just an immense truth. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all fullness of God. Now him who is able to do exceeding abundantly, say it, abundantly. If the Lord blesses you financially, and there are verses that talk about our needs, but there's a lot of talk about abundance, how much more then can you give? Can you give money to get somebody to another country? Can you give somebody something you need if you can't even meet your own needs? Mm-hmm. So I think financially that we'd be blessed, but then wisdom of what to do with it. Mm-hmm. We grew up believing that somehow if you serve the Lord, you should be poor. Well, I don't use this word, and I certainly don't let the kids at school use it, but that's stupidity. Mm-hmm. Because if I can't take care of me, I can't reach out and take care of the Lord's people either. Mm-hmm. So praying abundance into our spirit, into our lives, into our power to touch disease, abundance into everything. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church. He's coming for a glorious church, and you're going to be part of it, and so am I.
Amen.
We're going to see the Lord move. Amen. To all generations. I'm very generational. My children at an age, they're middle-aged. They're middle-aged. So to all generations. To all generations. Forever and ever.
Amen.
He's our God. He's going to bless us abundantly.
Amen.
Thanks for listening. Amen.